Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we want to make it all about you, Lord. And when we make it about you, then you make it about us. Lord, you love us, and you want all things, Lord, to work out for those who love you. And so we are here this day, Lord. We are here to praise you. We are here to worship you. And we got Aaron here. That's worth praising. You can sit down there. See, God is a good God, and He's good all the time. And we thank Him for Aaron. And so, Lord, we do thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you love those that love you, Lord. And so this day, Lord, we thank you. We praise you.
You know, there's a point where we got to learn to drown out all the noise that happens in our lives. There's a lot of times the church relates it to a storm, right? When you're going through something. But as we think of it that way, it's also distraction, right? Keep playing. You gotta learn to drown it out, because we're made up of the spirit, soul, and the body. And if you're allowing the soul to be what's guiding you in every single thing, then it's gonna be loud all the time. I want this. I need this. It's important for you to have this now. You're impatient. You can't wait. You got to keep moving. And if you're letting that be what drives you in every single thing, that's going to be what you hear more than the still, quiet voice. It's why it's important to learn to let just abide in the presence of God. It's why it's important to just open your Bible while you're at home by yourself and just say, God, it's one-on-one, you and me, and I'm spending the time here. It's why these moments are so crucial for us. It's because it's not just steps you take in life. It's a relationship that you're building with the Father, the creator of you, who knows every single gift and every single thing that He's placed within you, that knows every single thing that's coming up to you, that knows every trial, every tribulation, every single purpose for what He's doing within your life. Oh, come on, church. It's something to be excited about. The fact that the Father is the one who knows exactly where we're going, what we're doing, and we don't gotta worry about that. It's the abiding that takes time. Because so often we're so busy letting the soul be what guides us through life that we gotta learn that the spirit should come first in everything. And it really is like training your body to be like, nope, nope, nope. I don't care. You're telling me I'm sick? Nope. Sorry. The Holy Spirit tells me that by His stripes I have been healed. You're telling me that there's a problem going on in my life? Nope. Sorry. Because the Bible tells me that I am victorious, that all things are possible. It's learning to put the Word first, regardless of what you see around you, regardless of what's happening within your life, regardless of the noise. It's learning to say, I'm abiding right here in the quiet with you, because it's the only place that is important. It's the only thing that I need for direction on how to move forward. The Bible tells us that He gives us life and life more abundantly. How does that life happen? It happens because we begin to walk a completely different path, a path that is within the kingdom and not of this world. It's why the transformation of your mind is so important, because God's the only one who can transform you. And it happens in the day-to-day. It happens as you go after him and seek him one-on-one. It happens as the Holy Spirit just begins to reveal things within you. There's nothing that you gotta do besides just wait on him. It sounds crazy, and it sounds like, well, I don't gotta do nothing. But the truth is what you gotta do is you gotta learn to wait on him. And it may sound simple, but when you're so busy listening to everything else happening around you, you'll realize you gotta start saying it. You got to start speaking it into your life. You got to start saying, God, no, I'm no longer standing on this other junk. I'm standing on your word. This is where we see that chains being broken, bondages just completely being removed. Because now you're dwelling in an area in your life that is allowing God to 100% weed out the bad things, place new things within you, giving you things that you need. And it is a transformation. It really is. These are the areas that if the church begins that if the church begins to realize that this is where we need to abide, is within his presence, and that's it, you really will see the kingdom on earth. Because the Holy Spirit's not telling one church one thing and another church another thing and this and that. Man, you will know, because as the body begins to operate as one, we're all hearing the same thing. It's when we really do see the church rise up in this time. It's because we'll begin to all just function. There's no walls anymore. There's no nothing. It's just going after God, hearing what he has to say, knowing that what he's telling us, that we can go to the Bible, we can look at it, we can learn, we can transform, and then we gotta walk in it. It can't be this thing anymore of, okay, I heard. Yeah, I heard. No, come on. We gotta start walking in it. And let me tell you that the more you resist it, the more you're putting yourself back in the middle of that trial again, so that he could say, let me teach you. There's things that come up in our life, and he doesn't desire for bad things to happen, but he does desire for you to learn. He does desire to build you up and make you even stronger than when you entered that trial. He desires that he can just continue to build you up in him so that you are stronger as you move forward. And that's how we gotta start looking at it. The trial that I'm in now, it's nothing, God, compared to what you have for me. So I'm going to focus on you. What do you got for me? What are you trying to tell me? What are you showing me in these moments? And a lot of times, all of this comes in the abiding. I want to be next to you. I want to be one with your spirit. To teach me in the hard moments to abide in you. To hear your voice. That's what I love about this song. Because as you put God and the Holy Spirit forefront in your life, you'll begin to hear God's voice all around you. It's a powerful thing, because you'll begin to hear it everywhere you go. The gas station, the grocery store, it doesn't matter where you're at. You will hear him moving in your life, and it will be something completely undeniable to you, because you will know his voice better than anything else. a baby Christian, a lot of times when they first hearing God, they'll think, is that just me or is that you, God? I'm not really sure. I can tell you that when I had to first start standing on this stage, that's exactly what I thought every single time. Oh, I don't know, God. I don't want to say that because I don't know. Is that you or is that me? But as I started to trust him and go after him more every single time, and even now, I know when he says, stop. Because you will know his voice in everything. The more you use it, the more you listen to it, it's just like a baby. Those parents are speaking to that baby from day one. And even before, when the baby's in the womb, they say that they get to know the parent's voice. It's the same thing. When you get used to hearing something, you know their voice. And it's the same thing with the Father. As you build a relationship with him, as you listen to his voice, you will hear it all the time. In every single moment, God, I feel for this person. Should I talk to them? And he will answer you. God, I don't know what's going on at work right now. And he will talk to you. He will guide you in every single moment of your life if you just abide within him.
Distraction is the enemy. It is the enemy. You have to learn to be still. In the middle of the night is when, honestly, I have my best conversations, because I had a person come to me at work, and the conversations that we had were wonderful. And that night I woke up and I had to literally get this book. And I kind of argued, you know, I'll get it tomorrow. No, I'll forget. Go get it now. And when I did my Sunday school lesson, I get these revelations in the middle of the night and right on. I mean, the word for me this week was serve. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And if we're serving, we are God-centered. If we're being served, we're self-centered. And we want to surrender to that Spirit so that he can use us. We are his hands and feet. We have to quiet the noise. The distraction is evil. We have to surrender and be still and see the miracles around us all week long. The people that are placed in our lives, and it is all day long, how he can use us on a Wednesday or a Thursday or a Friday, not just Sunday. Thank you.
Amen. You don't realize it, but he speaks to you more than you realize. Praise God. God is always saying something. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
He's always got an opinion. Is that right? Come on. God's got an opinion on everything. Come on. He's got the truth. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I hope everybody is ready for the, I guess we should call it the be still advance. Amen? Is that an oxymoron or what? Be still advance. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Bring your sleeping bags. Bring your air mattresses. Bring your tents. Bring your motor homes. Whatever you want. Hallelujah. And let's spend some time together and worship God. One time there will be great time for you to get away by yourself, you and God, and you can find a place to go battle a mosquito somewhere. Yeah. No, but we'll have spray for you. But hey, we'd like to just invite everybody out. It's really a good time. It really is. It really turns out well. I know the ladies haven't done this before with us. Is that right? Seems really loud, Steve. Is that all right? Is that just the way you want it? That's the way you want it. Okay. However you want it, bro. It seems loud to me. But I know the ladies haven't done this before. The guys have done it for the last 6 years. Is that right? 6 years. And we really enjoy the men's retreat, but now we're calling it the adult advance. How's that? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. How many want to advance in the kingdom? How many want God just to, how many want a clarity of what God has for you? How do you come to the advance and spend some time, worship him, and we usually have a real good time. I guess that's enough of the commercial, amen?
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope to see everybody there. I have a good time. I love doing that. I just love having folks around and feeding them and worshiping God and music and oh, man. Amen. People prophesying to one another. Amen?
Amen.
People speaking good things to each other. It's a good time. It really is. We're going to have fun. Hallelujah. I know the ladies had a good night last Thursday. Is that right? For Stella. Praise God. Amen. Yeah. Just the band, the worship team just happened to be here when it was happening. So we got a little bit of good food, northern food. Amen. Praise God. I want to thank God for that just at the right time. Amen. It was, yeah, praise God. I know guys aren't supposed to raid the ladies' things, man, but it happens. Amen. It happens. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many like promotion? How many like being promoted? I mean, how many of you love being promoted? How many of you like working for it? Now, come on, man. Hey, promotion comes from good work, amen? Isn't that right? Do you know that God has already got you on a course of promotion? Do you know that? We're going to talk about today's the sermon. The sermon title today is called The Path of Promotion. Oh, yeah. You're going to love this. The path that God places you on, whether you know it or not, God's already got you on this path. The path of promotion is already in your life if you know Jesus Christ. Amen? He's taken you someplace. He's taken you someplace. Come on, man. Hallelujah. And I just want to say this. Faith is not... God didn't give you faith to get you something. Is that okay? This is kind of a weird statement, but I'm going to tell you, God gave you faith to take you someplace, to take you to his promises, take you to where he wants you to go, where he has for you already planned it already. He's already got in advance an idea of where he's taking you. So faith is not something you just get from God in order to get things. Is that right? It's to take you someplace. Take you into his promises. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's promises are good. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
How many know that whatever he said is true?
Amen.
If he made a promise, he's not going to take it back. Is that okay? Aren't you glad about that? Doesn't it give you a place to stand, a position to stand in? When you know a promise of God, when you know what he said, it presents to you a place of a position to stand in. And no matter what goes on around you, you're standing in that position. How many say amen to that? I mean, how many know we walk by faith in the Bible what we see? Amen? Glory to God, man. God has got you on a path of promotion. I'm going to take you to Daniel chapter 3. I love this story, and I don't know what happened to the young people that were sitting over here, but maybe they bugged out on us already. Where'd they go? Hallelujah. Is there a class back there today? Oh, okay. Usually the last week of the month is not a... But that's the fifth Sunday, is that right? Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, he don't know what he's talking about. Just leave him alone. Praise God. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 3. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Father, this is a familiar story, Father, and we've read it over and over and over again. Lord, the testimonies of who you are and what you've done, Father, they're always powerful. Lord, let us not look at this today as I remember this story. Or, yeah, I've heard this story so many times. I've heard it preached so many times. Father, don't let us look at it that way. But, Father, let us, Father God, receive something new from your Spirit. Lord, we thank you for it. We praise you for that new thing that you're going to put in every heart that's here today and that will hear this sermon, Father God, as it goes out into the internet. Father, we thank you for it and we praise you for it. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. And we say amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. I like reading the Word of God because I just love reading the Word of God. And if you haven't read this story in a while, you're going to hear it today. Amen? Hallelujah. So here we go. Daniel chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Word of God says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof, 6 cubits. He set it in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. I'm just going to talk to you about that. I'm not sure how many. Pastor John, can you walk real fast? I just want to just go all the way to the curtain. Go all the way to the curtain. Just walk from that curtain to that curtain. Okay. Kind of walk like this. Take a 3-foot step every time. Okay. All right. Let's give Pastor John a hand. Yeah. Okay. Okay. You guys count as steps. Okay. Ready? Here we go. Ready? Go. 1, 2, 3, 4. 11. 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 36. Come back 6 paces. 6 paces. 2, 3. Right there is 30. Oh, I'm sorry. Keep going. 3 more. I said 6, didn't I? 6. Stand right there. Okay. The reason I said 30 paces, about 3 feet long each, is how many feet? 90 feet. Is that right? Okay, here we go. The Bible says that this idol was, it says, three score cubits, 60 18-inch sections. So 3 score cubits, sir, it's 90 feet. Look it up. And 18 inches times 60 will be, end up, divided by 12, will end up about 90 feet. From that curtain to where Pastor John is, that's how tall that thing was. That's how tall it was. It was about 9 feet in diameter. It says by 6 cubits. You can sit down, Pastor. But that's how tall that was. And it was up in the air. It was in the plain of Dura. I believe, this is my own belief. It doesn't say that in the scriptures. But this idol that Nebuchadnezzar made, when he had a dream. Do you guys remember that he had a dream? And there was a young man. What was his name? Daniel. And Daniel had 3 friends. Do you guys remember their names? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Is that right? So actually, we had... The king had a dream, and he was about to wipe out all the astrologers, all the wise men, all the anybody that was a prognosticator, anybody. He was going to wipe them out because he needed to know what his dream was, and he forgot his dream. Is that cool? So he told all those guys, "You got to tell me what it means," and nobody could tell him. But Daniel said, "Give me a chance. Let me check out with my brothers. Let me pray, and we'll find out what God said in your dream." And God did. God gave the dream to Daniel. Daniel interpreted the dream, and it, folks, can I tell you, it promoted these guys. Amen?
Amen.
These guys were promoted by God. And I believe that this idol that was 90 feet high and 9 feet in diameter, however, was an idol of that dream. That's just the way kings are. That's the way he had this dream. And so he built this thing and set it in the middle of the plain of Dura. And then he had a plan. I'm going to make everybody worship my dream. Amen? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Amen. All right, that's where we're at. 90 feet tall, 6 feet in diameter, sticking way up in the sky. Okay? Verse 2 says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before that image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried out, 'To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and tongues, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worships shall the same hour be cast into the middle or the midst of a burning fiery furnace. How do you say amen? Come on. Worship or die. Amen? We ought to do that in here, man. Worship or die, man. Come on. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding you. Hallelujah. It says, therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain of the Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. How many of you got friends? Certain of these Chaldeans came and they accused the Jews, and they spoke and said to the king, to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Good way to start. Amen. Thou, O king, have made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. Whoso falleth not down and worships, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. These are what you call snitches. Amen? Yep. Let me see. How many like snitches? I'm going to tell on you. Better watch it. I'll tell on you. There are certain Jews whom the Jews have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee, and they serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar knew these guys really well. How many say amen to that? He knew who they were. There was a eunuch when Daniel and his companions first came in. There was a new eunuch that renamed them. Daniel's name to the king was Belteshazzar. The other guys were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Before that, they were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That was their names. They were named after the God of Israel. Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. And Daniel. But when they got to Babylon, they renamed them after the gods of Babylon. Isn't that crazy? But these guys were not of the gods of Babylon. How many say amen to that? We know the story, don't we? We know this story. It's a good story. What verse am I on? Thirteen. And Nebuchadnezzar, thank you. And Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. He should have known better. How many say amen to that? He should have known. When he looked at these guys, you know, maybe he forgot their faces. But when he looked on them, he should have, oh, yeah, I remember you guys. These guys were above all the other folks. These guys were counselors and governors. These guys were appointed by the king, by himself, to be helped to rule his kingdom. He should have known better when he looked at them. Oh, yeah, I forgot. These guys are Jews. Nebuchadnezzar spoke to them and said, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not you serve my gods nor worship the golden images which I have set up? Now, if you be ready that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? I'm going to tell you, he was mad. Amen. How many of you have said things out of your mouth that you shouldn't have said? Anybody? Nobody's ever done that, huh? I see two hands. The rest of you are just say, I don't want to say. My sins are forgiven. Amen? Hallelujah. God washed my sins away, man. Come on, leave me alone. This king was upset, and he says, you will die. I don't care what God you serve. Oh, big mistake. How many say amen? Big mistake. I love it. I love this story. I could read it over and over. And it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, I like this. We're not careful to answer you in this manner. Hey, it doesn't take us long to tell you, to figure out what we're going to say to you. We're not careful. We're going to tell you what we think. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O King. But if not, how many say amen? But if not, I just want you to know this, King, all right? But if not, be it known to you, O King, that we will not, everybody say not, we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set. I don't care if you call me by one of the names of your gods. I'm not going to serve your God. We're not going to bow down to this thing. We don't even have to rehearse what we're going to tell you. Our answer is no. I don't know how you want to say it any other way. We ain't doing it. No, not going to do it, King. We don't care. Throw us in the fire. Our God deliver us. Be for sure, if we die in that flame, he delivered us out of your hand. Know that. Can you see a steadfastness in these kids? Yeah. Steadfast on who they are. They knew who they were. They didn't let the world dictate. They didn't let no powerful king dictate who they were. They said, we know this is who we are. We serve our God. Praise God. Be it known unto you, O King, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace one 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Praise God. These guys are tied up like burritos. Tossed into this. I mean, these guys, big guys, had to come, take them up there. As they tossed them in, these guys, the heat from this furnace killed them. The king's men. When these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning furnace, fiery furnace, then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. I like that word. He got astonished. He looked, he said, uh-oh, something's happening. He was astonished and rose up in haste and spoke and said to his counselors, didn't we cast 3 men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. I get a kick out of some of this stuff. Yeah, that's true, God. Yeah, I mean, King, we threw 3 in. Why? He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose. Not bound, but loose. Yeah. No, that's not bound. Yeah. They were loose in the midst of the fire, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the 4th is like what? Son of God. Now, what do you know what he looked like? I'm sure that there was a brightness inside that furnace that was brighter than the flames themselves. It was bright in there. And you can see 4 guys walking around. Amen. Hallelujah. Loose. Woohoo. This is nice. Come on. Hallelujah. In the middle of this fire. And he goes, didn't we throw in 3? There's 4. But one of them, there's a brightness. And he looks like the Son of God. Ooh, come on. Hallelujah. In the midst of the fire with the 3 Hebrew boys. Amen. Whew. I bet the Hebrew boys were, whoa. Can you imagine what they thought? Lord, glad to see you. Amen. Come on. Amen. You must have heard us. You must have heard our prayers. Can I tell you, God hears your prayers? Look at your neighbor and say, God is for you, and he's not against you. He's for you. He's not against you. He's never been against you. He's always been for you, just like he's always for, like he was those three boys. He was for them. He saw what was going on. He knew what was happening. Woo, hallelujah. I can tell you that you can't get anything by on God. He knows it all. You sly little dog, you. Thinking that God thing you're getting away with stuff. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Yeah, don't take that personal. Hallelujah. God sees it all. Nothing gets away. He knows. Hallelujah. And how much more will he do for somebody that says, hey, throw us in the fire, King. Just want you to know that we will not serve your God. How much more will God say, whoa, hey, check it out, man. See him up there in heaven saying, angel, come here, check this out. Watch this. Let me show you something here. Let me teach you something. Let them teach. See those three boys now? Let them teach you something. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you imagine all the stuff going on in the heads of these young men? The king says he was astonished. A lot more than astonished, I'd say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Nebuchadnezzar, he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke and said, I think his attitude is a little different. How many of you say amen? Mr. Shadrach? Mr. Meshach, Mr. Abednego, can you guys come on out? I'm sure it was a little bit changed now. Huh? Amen? No more a furious king. Now it was a king that had been humbled. Can you see? Can you hear this? He was humbled by what he saw and what was going on in right before his eyes. Whew. And he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And what I like, check this out. I mean, you know there's a big crowd around. How many know that? Because when they didn't bow, the music played, they didn't bow. All the people, the nations, and there was all sorts of folks there. It says the princes, the governors, the captains, the king's counselors being gathered together saw those men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of the head singed, neither was their coats changed, nor the smell of fire passed on them. It was like the fire wasn't even there. You say amen? Amen? Hey, with God, folks, let me just tell you, that fire that you're going through, it's not even there. It's more about what you're thinking than what it is with God, because God is saying, no, there's no fire here to hurt you. There's nothing going to burn you. Hallelujah. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that, what? Trusted in him. How many know it's so important to trust God? God is for you and he's not against you. No. Never has been against you. He's always been for you. No matter what you see happening around you, he's always for you. Delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Therefore, I make a decree. This is Nebuchadnezzar. Every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Pastor John, Sister Stella, Rosie, Aaron, Steve, Chuck, any person that says anything amiss against the God of these folks shall be cut in pieces. Their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Come on. It's called the path to promotion. Amen. Look at this last verse. It says this: then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Isn't that cool? Yeah. The path of promotion looks a lot different than what we would think, like in our businesses or whatever. The path of promotion might be, hey, you got to be nice to your boss and all that other stuff. But the path of promotion is always to serve God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul at all times. Amen? That's the path of promotion, because God will remove kings for your sake, and he'll set up another king for your sake. Hallelujah. If one is treating you bad, he's going to pull them out and he'll stick another one in there. Hallelujah. As long as you trust him. Amen. Yeah. It's important that you trust God. Trust him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Hallelujah. I want you to look at this. Isaiah 48 verse 17 says this: thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer. He's talking to you. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord, your God, which teaches you to what? Prophet. Hey, he wants to promote you. Which leads you by the way that you should go. Amen? See, he's going to lead you into these places so he can cause you to profit in them. Is that okay? Sometimes the places, we don't like them. Sometimes. Can you say amen? But God is wise. Amen? He's smart. Oh, yeah, he's a lot smarter than you think. God is God, and he can do whatever he wants, and he will take you and cause you to walk in a place that sometimes it doesn't feel good, but yet I will tell you, it's a promotion to you. It is a promotion. Amen? There was a young man that was that I worked with at work, and his name was Ralph. And while he was hired to line mills, and lining mills at the mine is not an easy job. It will, on most people, it will turn you from a chunky guy into a slim, muscular, because I mean, we're talking about 1,200-pound steel liners, 900, 700 and not 1,200 pounds. And you got to, once you got them in place, you got to pick them up with bars. You got these guys doing this, and there's rows and rows and rows of them in these mills. They're a liner just to keep the outside, the shell of the thing, to keep it from wearing out and then them having to replace it. But these liners are heavy. And Ralph was a diabetic. He was a type 1 diabetic. And he, when he got hired in, he's thin as a rail, real light. And I noticed when he first got on the cruise that he had a big toolbox, like with what the rest of the guys were carrying. But he quit carrying that, and he turned it into a bucket to where he had just these certain tools. He carried just the ones he needed. And I said, he was a Christian. Ralph was a young man. He used to go to one of the churches in Tucson, and he was a great guy. He really was. But he came to me one day. He would come and have lunch with me at my desk, and which was down on the shop floor. My desk was downstairs, and he would come and eat with me. And as we were talking, he said, "Henry, I'm going to have to quit this job." I said, "Why, Ralph? It pays well." He goes, "It does, but it's just too." He goes, "Man, you know, I'm diabetic." I said, "Yeah, I heard you say that." He goes, I can't keep up with these guys. These guys, 4 hours in, they're still fresh. I'm 4 hours in. I can barely carry my tools around. I'm just too weak for this kind of work." And I said, "Well, let me pray for you, brother." Right before he had to get back to work and I had to get back to work, I prayed for him. And while I was praying, the Lord gave me a word for him. And he said, "Ralph," I said, "Hey, Ralph, God's got a word for you." He says, "Well, okay." And I said, "Here's just what he's saying." He goes, "Every opportunity that swings open, put your foot in it. That's all I know." He goes, "What?" I said, "Yeah, every opportunity you get, put your foot in it." He goes, "All right." And I could tell he was thinking, that's not much of a word. And I was thinking, kind of, "God, is that all you had for him? Come on, man, he's getting ready to quit." Well, Ralph was this young man that he liked computers. He spent a lot of time doing computer work, and I think I wrote down something that he loves statistics, charts, and formulas. This guy just loved that kind of stuff. It made him grow, man. I mean, he loved it. And I was working these what they call cyclones at the mine, and they wore out a lot. And I was trying to get a schedule on them so I could pull them out of service before they wore out, because pumping that rock up there it's like sending sandpaper through anything. So I was trying to get an idea of how long to keep these things in service. Well, Ralph began to help me with that, because I had talked to one of the supervisors, and the supervisor said, well, you know, we're going to give him a break from the mills because he does look tired all the time. So he put him to work with me, and Ralph figured out exactly how many days to pull this equipment out before it would blow a hole through. And his calculations were right on the money. So right away, I told the supervisor, man, this guy's, you need to talk to him. He's got, he can probably figure things out for all your pumps and all these other parts that you guys are using. Just need to give him the information on it. So he goes, yeah, whatever. Well, there was a clerk's job that came open upstairs, and I saw it. So I called, I saw Ralph going through the shop. I said, hey, Ralph, there's a clerk's job that's open. He goes, yeah, well, I don't know about being a clerk. I said, hey, what did God say? Any opportunity, bro. And he goes, okay, all right. So he put in for it. Boom, he got it. Amen? God is true. God is honor. God will honor. If you'll honor him, he'll honor you. God said, everything that you put in for. All right. So he's a clerk. Now he's working upstairs, and he's getting stuff. He's still doing stuff for the pump crew. I told the supervisor, they started talking to him. Everybody was talking to him about creating these schedules to help get this equipment maintained. Well, came to the point where I was looking at, there was a planner's job that came open. And my supervisor, hey, Henry, you got to take that planner's job. Yeah, I will. So I put in for it. About two or three days later, Ralph comes down and he goes, hey, Henry, he goes, I see there's a planner's job open. I go, yeah, man. And he goes, I'm not going to put in for it because I see that you put in for it. And I looked at him. I said, hey, Ralph, what did God say? He said, any opportunity that comes out, you put your foot in it. This is an opportunity for you, Ralph. But I don't want to do it because you know you're my friend. And I'll say, hey, what did God say? What did he say? Put in for it, Ralph. So we put in for it. They picked him up right away. They grabbed him. Took my job. Praise God, man. But I enjoyed it. He went from a planner to a planner supervisor to a senior planner. They sent him to Africa to do some work down in Africa. God, I mean, things just opened up for him because he put his foot when an opportunity came forward. Later on, an opportunity came up and I got a planner's job, but that's no news, is it? Praise God. Yeah. You see, God has us all on a pathway of promotion. Do you know that? But sometimes the way we get there is kind of tough. Sometimes it can be tough. But you got to believe God. How many say amen to that? Amen. I want you to look at this scripture, Job 36, 22. This is also the power verse for today. It says, behold, God exalts by his power. How many say amen to that? How many want to be exalted in the earth? I mean, just promotion in the earth by his power. A man or woman filled with the Holy Ghost. God, I'm going to tell you what, you are set aside by God. Is that, you're a peculiar people. Amen. Is that right? You're weird stuff. God will position, because he said in Deuteronomy, I'm going to have to look. I didn't look it up for the sermon. I was just now thinking about it. But he said that because he told Israel, I have created you to be over all the nations of the earth. Isn't that cool? Yeah. Promoted. Though they didn't realize it. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. But it says, behold, God exalts by his power. And then it says, it's got a question. This isn't Job. This is Elihu speaking. Do you guys remember who Elihu was? He was the young man that kept his mouth shut while the older men were talking. Is that right? Come on. The older guys, man, telling Job all this stuff. Elihu just sat there. Finally, when they were done, he goes, you guys done? Yeah, okay. He says, well, let me speak because I've been like a bottle of wine ready to pop. Because the Spirit of God has placed something within me and I got to say it. I love that story. If you get a chance, go back and read the book of Job. When Elihu starts talking, I tell you, when you read the book of Job and Elihu starts talking, pay attention to what he says. He says a lot of good stuff. But he says right here, he says, behold, God exalts by his power. And then he says this, who teaches like him? There's a lot of teachers in this world, but nobody teaches like God teaches. Can I tell you that? Do you know that God has a different way of teaching his people? God's going to use events in your life to teach you something. Amen? How many say amen to that? That's how he does it. And if you will stick with him, if you'll look at the word of God, if you'll go after the word of God and go after him and say, God, what are you saying? You're going to find out why exactly you're going through those things you're going through. Is that okay? Come on, man. Hallelujah. I'm just going to tell you this. Galatians 4 says, now the heir. How many are heirs of God? How many knows you're an heir of the kingdom of God? How many know that? Now the heir, as long as he is child, differs nothing from a servant. Is that right? Differs nothing from a servant, even though he's Lord of all. Is that right? Look at your neighbor and say, man, you're Lord of all. You're Lord of all. Because of who that dwells in you? Because Jesus dwells in you. Hey, Jesus said it this way, without me, you can do nothing. How many say amen to that? Can't do nothing without him, but if he's with you and he's in you, he says, even though you're a servant, you're Lord of all. And then he says, but you're under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the Father. Do you see that? Under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the Father. How many know that it's not God watching you said, okay, now's time. It's not like that. It is God has appointed a time because he knows you. He knows when you're going to get to that point where he says, okay, he's ready to be removed from being just a servant, but into the son, a child of the living God. How many say amen to that? A son of God, a daughter of God. Hallelujah. Is that cool? You understand that? So he's teaching, right? You're under tutors and governors, but what are these tutors? Because God doesn't teach the way we teach. God doesn't use books and stuff like that. He uses his word and he uses the events in your life to show you and to strengthen you and to build you. I want you to look at this. Go to Isaiah chapter 30. One of my favorite, which I have 3,245 verses that are my favorite. This is my favorite. I love Isaiah. I'll tell you what, man. One of my most favorite books is Isaiah. I think there's more prophetic things in Isaiah than in a lot of the other books. I believe Isaiah really had a connection. But they all did. Jeremiah, I mean, they all had. But I just love the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah 30 is a great book. But we're going to start at verse 18. And I want you to see something about what God talks about a teacher. And it says, therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. And therefore, will he be exalted. See, God wants to be gracious to you. And whatever you're going through, if you will begin to exalt him, he's waiting for it. Can I say that to you? He's waiting for you to open your mouth and say, God, you know, I don't care what they say about me. I'm going to praise you anyway. God, I don't care what just happened. I'm going to praise you anyway. God, I don't care if the bill people are calling me every day. I'm going to praise you. So he says this, therefore, will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. You see that? Blessed are they that wait for him. You trust him. Just wait for him. For the people that shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem, thou shalt weep no more. How many say amen? No more crying. Quit crying. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the voice of your cry. Not cool? When he hears it, he will what? Folks, this is a promise. It's a promise. That he, when you cry, he's going to hear you and he'll answer you. Are you willing to wait for his answer? Are you willing? Verse 20 says, and though the Lord give you, and that, I know folks, some folks don't like this verse. I don't like it, but nevertheless, it's the truth. So actually, I love it. Amen? It says, though the Lord give you the bread of adversity. Don't you love that? Woo, God, pour it on. Adversity. And the water of what? Affliction. Now, who's giving it to you? Folks, hey. What does the word say? It's him. I'm just say this to you. I said it Wednesday night, and I didn't realize what God was building up for it. But God deserves all the glory, all the honor, really? All the power. Amen? He deserves it. Anything that we can say? Jesus said, all power is given unto me and I give it to you. Is that right? Jesus told us that, right? All the power belongs to God. How many say amen to that? Look, folks, I'm going to tell you this. Quit using the devil as an excuse to do what you want to do in the first place. Ooh, that's a word. Stop doing it. Stop saying, well, the devil made me do it. Come on, man. God was very clear in what he said to me when I heard this. God was real clear. He said, because I believe this. I believe that all honor and all power belongs to him. There's no other power in the earth. There's no other power. It's all God in the kingdom of God. How many say amen to that? I will tell you that there is a devil out there. And he's deceiving out there. But in his kingdom, in his children, he has got no place. He's got nothing. You got nothing. That's why I don't even like talking about him up here. You'll see that I don't talk much about him up here. Do you know why? Because that's what he wants me to do. He would rather I talk to you. Oh, well, the devil did that. But you know what? He's got nothing, absolutely nothing in the kingdom. When you ascribe him power, you create him as an idol. Do you know that? Listen to what I'm telling you. Listen, because God, this is what God's saying. When you ascribe the devil power, the word of God is contrary to that. It says all power belongs to him. All honor belongs to him. All glory belongs to him. You give this other guy any point, you're creating an idol. Do you understand that? Ooh, come on. See, the truth is the truth. And we've been indoctrinated. Can I say that to you? Yeah. In the ways that we think as Christians. And Bible says everything comes from me. Do you know that when it says old things pass away, right? This is, I didn't give it, but it says 2 Corinthians, is that? 5:17. All things pass away and all things become new. Is that right? And the very next verse says, and all things are of God. Not some things, not a few things, but it says all things are of God. So you have to take this as what God is saying, because who teaches like God? Who will teach like him? He uses things in your life to bring you into a knowledge of who he is and how well he loves you. Is that okay? Nothing shall by any means hurt you, no matter what. Is that right? If you believe that, then whatever you're going through can't hurt you. Come on. Hallelujah. Now, let me show you what he says here. And though the Lord give you bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not your teachers be removed into a corner anymore. but your eyes shall see your teachers. What's he saying? You're going to see the teachers. You're going to see what it is God's saying to you if you will trust him, if you'll understand that he is allowing you to have this water affliction. He's allowing you to walk in this place where you used to say, well, you know, when you'd have trouble, you say, well, the devil's doing this to me. So actually, your teaching just got pushed over in the corner. Do you understand that? Does that make sense? You make an excuse for it. Well, you know, well, brother, this and that and the other, they said this to me and they shouldn't have said it to me. So now you're in this position where what God is teaching you, you just shoved his teaching over into the corner so that you could have your way of your own understanding. And God's saying, I'm not trying to get you to go walk in your understanding. I'm just trying to lead you and guide you into the truth. Is that okay? Yeah. Folks, I know sometimes we don't want to think that God might do something that's adverse to us, but I will tell you, he will. He will. He will. But he's a good God. Yeah, that's why he needs to teach you, because he is a good God. He wants you to know about him. The things that you go through will build your understanding of just how much he cares for you. Is that okay? I know this is weird. I know. I'm a dad. I got grandkids, right? My wife's laughing. I will spank them. Can I tell you that? My grandkids, one of my grandkids is getting bigger than me. But I will spank him. It's going to hurt him if I do that. Isn't that right? Maybe. He's big. Usually will hurt me because I love him. But folks, listen. Just because I love him doesn't mean that I shouldn't correct them. Is that right? And it's the same with God with you. And he says this, though he gives you the water of affliction, and what was the other word? The bread of adversity? Hallelujah. Though he give it to you, he says, it's because of a reason. Because he's trying to teach you. It's like same as the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Adversity. Boom, into the fire. You say, well, I'd never teach my kids that way. Hey, you're not God. You don't think God. You don't know what's coming in the future. You don't know what they're going to need, what kind of equipment your children will need or you yourself will need for the future. Therefore, God will do these things. And that's exactly what Isaiah is saying here. Though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the waters of affliction, yet shall not your teachers be removed into a corner anymore. But now your eyes are going to see your teacher. The things you're going through are your teachers. They're not tossed off to the side and blamed on what's his face said something bad to me. Now it's, hey, God's saying something to me in this. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Walk in it. Walk with what? With trust. With understanding that God is carrying you. He will see you through it. Amen? He's showing you something. When you turn to the right hand or the left. Verse 22 says, you shall defile the covering of the graven images of silver and the ornament of your molten images. Can I say this to you? Let me just say it. The things that he takes you through, I don't care how much money you have. That's a silver or golden image. I don't care how much education you have. Doesn't matter. I don't care what your position is in this world. Whether you're a ditch digger like me or the president of the United States, does not matter. Your position, all those things in this world will not get you out of these situations. I am, you say amen to that. you're going to realize that your position or your money, let's just say your bank account, you're going to say, hey, my bank account can't help me here. I need healing or whatever. These things that God does, you're going to toss those things that he calls them idols. The covering, you toss them over in the corner. Said, these things are worthless to me. I need God. I need the Lord. Hallelujah. Ooh, come on, man. It says, you shall defile the covering of your graven images of silver, the ornaments of thy molten images of gold. You shall cast them away as a, this is a kind of a nasty word, menstruous cloth. Thou shalt say, get out of here. Amen? Why? Because the things that God shows you are more valuable than those other things. He brings a value to what you're just going through. Is that okay? Come on, he brings a value. Verse 23, did I say 23 too? Yeah, it says, then shall he give the rain of his seed, and thou shalt sow the ground with all, and the bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be, all of a sudden this blessing begins to happen, because you understand what God is doing. How many of you know that it's good to know what God is doing in your life? Amen?
Amen.
You'll find out that he's blessing you in this times of adversity. This is, folks, this is the way he teaches. It really is. That's his, what do they call it? Jake, is that what they call a M.O.? The M.O. modus operandi, or how do you say that? That's the way he works. That's his M.O. Folks, if he skated you through on everything, what would you learn? He wants you to know him in a way that you've never known him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You guys are real quiet. Yeah, no, getting on your nerves. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4 says this. This is what he says. This is why the word of God says, my brethren, count it all joy when you enter into these different temptations. Count it joy. Knowing this, the trying of your faith works patience, but let patience have a perfect work that you may be, what? See, God is trying to perfect you by these things. Hallelujah. Well, all I got to do is read God's word and I'll be fine. Yeah, well, guess what, bro? The way God teaches is a different way. He teaches in a way that will strengthen you and you'll never forget it. How many say amen to that? You'll never forget what he taught you through those times that he took you through. Amen? I'll tell you, these three Hebrew boys, they never forgot. Ooh, come on, man. You remember the light? Remember the king's countenance, how mad he was, and then how humble he was. Ooh, come on. Let patience have her perfect work that you may be perfect and entire. And then it says lacking nothing. This is the way God teaches. It really is. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Look at this. It says this. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Glory. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, man. You break your toe, glory to God. Isn't that right, Robert? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You run into that thing at night, man. You, whatever it is, we glory in tribulations. Is that what it says? Hallelujah. Folks, we got to learn to trust him. We got to learn to trust who he is and what he's saying to us and what he's trying to do in your life. Trust him, trust him, trust him. Not hard.
Amen.
Say, Lord, I trust you. You see the bill players. I mean, the bill collectors. I need some bill players. There you go. You see him, Lord. Just trust him. No one can take anything from you that God has given you unless God wants to pull it from you for a reason. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Amen. Praise God. Trust him. Hallelujah. Romans 5, 3 through 5 says, not only so, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works what? Patience. How many of you know God wants you patient? Does God want you patient? Everybody say, oh no, God wants me patient. Does God want you patient?
Yeah.
Are you patient? Mike, what were the speedy world that we're living in? Are you patient? Patience. Knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience works what? Oh, it is. Don't you love this? You're patient with God, and all of a sudden, boom, he shows up. Amen? And he does that which he's promised to do for you in your life, because he is Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Rophe, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Mekadesh. Them that know my name is what he says. You are his child. And you need to know it. And you need to know how well of a position he's placing you in whenever you're going through whatever you're going through. The ups and the downs. Amen? It's easy to worship him when everything's going great. Amen? But it turns into a sacrifice of praise when things are going wrong. A sacrifice of praise. And it works patience, and patience works experience, and experience works hope, because you look back and say, God's always watched over me. He's not going to leave me now. He didn't bring me this far to leave me, right? The word of God says that he will accomplish that which he's purposed in your life. He will do it. And whether you like it or not, come on, how many say, man, you got to trust him. Whether you like trusting him in all these things, you have to. You really got no other place to go. I'm going to take you back to Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. I want you to look at this. This word just popped up to me right when I thought I was done. And the Lord said, no, you're not done. And it says, verse 4 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. How many like knowing that you've been redeemed?
Amen.
God has redeemed you. And then it says that we might receive the adoption of sons. Is that okay? How many know that you're adopted? Okay. All right. Now, I want you to, everybody look at your neighbor and say, Apolambano. It sounds Italian, doesn't it? Say Apolambano. Come on. Apolambano. Apolambano. Everybody say Apolambano. That's a cool word, isn't it? Hey, walk through Safeway saying Apolambano. Amen. Hallelujah. So somebody say, what are you doing? I'm talking in tongues, man. Apolambano. 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 This is that word for receive. It says, and it means receive in full. You see that? Receive in full. The word apo, that's a combination of words, but the APO, apo, means completion. Lambano means to get or seize a hold of, receive. A receive. See, he wants you to receive it all. He wants you to receive all of your adoption. He don't want you to just know your papers are there. He wants you to know that everything that goes with it. He is, Randy, he is a rich God. He is a healer.
Yes.
He is a provider. He is a banner for you. He is your peace. He's all of that. He wants you to receive Apolambano. Everything that he has for you, he's after you to receive it. So some of the things you go through, Don't let them bother you. Don't let them shake you off course. He who began a good work in you, he's going to finish it. And you're going to see it on this earth. It's not when I get to heaven. Who cares? You need it now. Amen?
Amen.
You need it now. I need it now, Lord. I need your peace. I need your joy. I need your love. I need it now. He's got it for you. It's all yours. You see, your lack or your need. God says you don't have a lack. You don't have a need because he's already given you all things that pertain to you in life and godliness. He's already given to you all things. Is that right? What do you mean? God, I need this. God, I need that. What are you talking about? I've already given it all to you. Is that crazy? That's the way God wants you to live. He don't want you worrying about whether you're going to lose this or lose that. Just say, hey, it's all yours, Lord. Jeremiah 31, 33 and 34. Who teaches like God? Who teaches like God? Folks, hallelujah. What he's taught me, I can't make it turn it into a seminar and try to teach you because I don't know anything about you like God knows about you. Do you understand that God knows everything about you? And so he will teach you in ways that he doesn't teach anybody else. Is that okay? Because it's who he is. That his connection to you is that close. I will take you in a path that you know not of. I'll take you there. This is what he says. This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God. And they shall be my people. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor or every man his brother saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me. Amen?
Amen.
From the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. There's another place where the word of God says, folks, you don't need any man to teach you. The Holy Spirit, the unction of the Holy Ghost will teach you all things. He'll show you things you don't need. Well, you don't need to run to these seminars and you don't need to spend your money for all of those things. What you need is to spend time to wait on God. And when you wait on God, he will lead you and guide you and teach you and take you to the places you never thought you'd go because he loves you, he cares about you, and he desires to strengthen you by his word. Amen. He wants to write those words in your heart. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can we stand? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you are leading and guiding each and every one of us, Father. That you have chosen a path for every one of us, Father. So God, we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. God, we ask, Lord, that you would continue to work in our lives, to strengthen us by your Spirit. Lord, write your word on our hearts. Write it on our hearts, Lord, by your Spirit. We give you all the praise and the glory, Lord. Father, if there's anybody in this house that doesn't know you and how much you love them, Father, I pray that your word would touch their heart even now. It would begin to remove those blinders or remove those things that are contrary to you and allow them, Father, to hear you, to consider you, to think on you. Holy Spirit, go after them. Speak to them, Father. Lord, for those that have grown cold in their spirits this morning, Father, I pray that the fire of the Holy Ghost, that it will begin to burn away those things that are contrary to you. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. Lord, as we go out this week, Father, I pray that you would lead and guide us into places where we might be a voice for you, that we might be a shining light, if you will. Father, we thank you for it because your word says that you will lead us in the path that we should go. So we thank you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the healing that you bring to your people through the word of God. Through your word, you sent your word and healed them in Jesus' name. They lack nothing. They don't need anything. They have you, Father. So thank you for that, God. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Hug somebody. Thank them for coming. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.